You know, I start every Monday morning, or every time I began to prepare for the next sermon, with a very simple question and a very direct prayer. Lord, what would you have me to say to your people? Because really, that's what we're here about. We want to hear what God would say to us, me included. And so we try to open His Word and we look into it and we try to understand what is necessary for you and I, and we pray that the Spirit will guide and will direct, and that the message that you will hear would be the one that God would have you to hear. So ignore me if possible and listen to what the Scripture is telling us, what God is telling us. This morning, a very simple question: are we sheep or are we goats? And there's a lot of difference between sheep and goats, the distinct difference. Sheep follow a shepherd. Goats do whatever they want. You know, I saw a meme not too long ago that said, you know, I don't want to be a person today. I want to be a goat. I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. And if anybody disagrees with me, I'll headbutt them. That's what goats do. They go around and they do pretty much whatever they please. And if anybody disagrees with them, man, they're ready to butt heads. And they will get their measure of revenge if they possibly can. Sheep, on the other hand, follow the shepherd. You know, sheep follow shepherds because they recognize the shepherd's voice. And whenever the shepherd goes out and calls to the sheep, He's able to get them to come just because they know His voice and they will follow that voice. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to spend about a week out in northern Colorado next to the Wyoming line hunting. And during that experience, I saw shepherds. First time in my life I had ever seen shepherds. There are some ranches out there that are tens of thousands of acres, and they have large herds of sheep, and there are shepherds that live with those sheep, much like what we read about in biblical times. And surprisingly, the shepherds don't try to drive the sheep from one place to the next. The shepherds call to the sheep hear them, and they follow them. So a big difference. You can't do that with goats. You go out and call goats, and they'll go do whatever they want. Sheep follow. Goats do as they please. John 10:27-28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Matthew 25:31-34 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto those on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world." Verse 41 of that same chapter says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." There is indeed an enormous difference between sheep and goats. Even in today's world, the leader, statue, whatever you want to call him, of the satanic temple worships a creature they call Baphomet, B-A-P-H-O-M-E-T, and that is a demon with a goat's head. Even the satanic worshipers recognize the goat as being a symbol of wickedness, a symbol of evil. So we have this question: are we sheep or are we goats? Of course, we all want to say, well, I'm a sheep, right? But there are some ways to tell whether we're sheep or whether we're goats. If you'll notice in modern society, sheep are kind of put down. In fact, you will hear the term occasionally sheeple, or people who act like sheep. And it's meant to be a derogatory term. But there's nothing wrong with being a sheep. It is a noble, very respectful kind of lifestyle, as long as you are following the shepherd. If you are one of God's sheep, you will know his voice and you will follow his voice. If you're a goat, you'll do pretty much whatever you want. I have seen people all of my life in church who, many of them were sheep, and many of them, quite honestly, were goats. And we've dealt with that, I guess, from the beginning, and will till the very end of time. There are people who want their way, and they are determined to get their way. And if they don't get their way, they'll either go off and pout, or they'll start headbutting people, or what is even worse, and this is a pet peeve, I guess, people will try to manipulate you. They will work behind your back. They will say things here and they will say things there in order to try and make you do what they want you to do. That's not just at church. You run into that at work. You run into that everywhere you go. People attempt to manipulate and to go behind your back and to use suggestion and to try and get their way. Ladies and gentlemen, those are goats. And they will come to a bitter end eventually. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of life. If you are determined for your will to be done, you're a goat. If you are a sheep of God's flock, you are following and you want God's will to be done. So today, I hope, I pray that you and I are sheep. And you know what? We have the ability to change. God can change goats to sheep. He has the ability to turn people around and to make them different if we're willing. I think a lot of the difference between sheep and goats is attitude, the way they approach life, and so it is spiritually. If we have the attitude of a sheep, if we're willing to follow as a sheep, we will see tremendous change. Well, this morning our scripture is the 23rd Psalm, the whole Psalm. And it is one of the most beautiful, touching, and poetic scriptures in the entire Bible. But I think sometimes we read it and we enjoy the poetry and we skip over the much deeper meaning. So this morning I want us to go through the 23rd Psalm line by line. But I ask you to indulge me and let's make a change. Instead of saying I, let's say we and our instead of my. Let's look at this from a group perspective because we are a church. We are a part of God's flock. So let's read through this, stopping at each line and looking at or reflecting a little bit on each line from the perspective of a group of people. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. You know, want is one of those unique terms. Whenever you say, I want, what are you saying? My will is, my preference is, my desire is. Goats always have wants. I want this, I want that, I want something else. But sheep, on the other hand, refrain from saying, I want, give me, do for me, it's about me. Instead, it's God's will be done. I suppose we could look at that line and say, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not be in need. And truly, there is a lot of truth in that. God owns everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. He has created everything. He has done everything. We worry about money. We worry about all of these things, and we really don't need to, because we serve a God who owns everything, and He knows our needs. If we are His sheep, if we are following for Him, He will provide for us. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm sorry, I did it. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. At different times in my life, I have endeavored to raise cattle. I don't claim to be a rancher. I'm certainly not a shepherd. Never owned a sheep or a goat, thankfully. But in dealing with cattle and dealing with cows, I've noticed something. And you'll see this in cattlemen around. People who genuinely care about their livestock, you will find those livestock to be well fed, well cared for. People who do not, you will find their livestock to be very mistreated. There were some cows at one point behind in the pastures behind our offices, and they were in such terrible shape. If you looked out there, it looked green. But if you got a little bit closer, you would realize the only green out there was bitter weeds. There was no grass under that. A lot of briars and black locust and bitterweed, but nothing really for the cows to eat. And in fact, you go around by there, some of the fences, and the cows would reach their head through and eat just as far as they could reach all along the edge of the pasture because they were genuinely hungry. On the other hand, I know of a particular rancher, and he is meticulous about caring for his livestock. In fact, if you look at his pastures, you won't see a weed. He makes sure they are all weeded and his cows are always standing belly deep in Bermuda grass. See, that is our Savior for us. The Lord is our shepherd. He leads us to green pastures. We lie down where there is plenty, where there is never a need for something to eat. Spiritually, if you will follow God, He will give you all of the food you need spiritually to survive. He will give you more than you need. And financially, I believe He'll do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying that you will be wealthy. I don't preach prosperity gospel. I think there are a lot of very wicked people who are very wealthy. And there are a lot of God-fearing people who don't have a great deal of finances. I get it. But here's the thing. If you are one of His sheep, and if you are following, you will be taken care of. The psalmist David said, I have been young and now I am old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor thy seed begging bread. If we keep our part of the bargain with God, He will keep His part. He will take care of us. Now, we may not have what we want, but we'll have what we need. It says, He leadeth me beside still waters. Again, caring for everything that we need. There's nothing like good, clean water. We need that. And God provides that. He restoreth our souls, and He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, we all go through periods of drought. I have, and I know each of you have. There are times when, whether we like it or not, trouble comes along. The devil will do everything in his power to cause you and I trouble. It's just a reality of life. And if you start being a follower of Jesus, you can expect Satan is going to do whatever he can to stop you from doing that, to distract you from doing that. Sometimes we feel depressed. Sometimes we feel like we don't know what to do. I can remember a time in my life several years ago when I was really at a crossroads. And for weeks I would get on my knees and pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't understand. Some of the things I thought I was doing for you have not worked out. I don't know where to go. What do you want me to do? It was a very dark time for me. It was a valley. And people, we all go through those. But you know what? I prayed enough and I listened enough, and Jesus did direct me. God showed me what He wanted me to do. He restored my soul. He restores us. He gives us joy. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. And I can tell you, we're going to go through some difficult times in our country. I firmly believe that. We're going to see some things, if we live long enough, that we didn't think we'd ever see in this country. And certainly our children and grandchildren are going to see some things that it would be better if they didn't have to experience. Trouble is coming. But we serve a God. If He is our shepherd, and if we are following Him as His sheep, as His obedient sheep, He'll take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. One of the best things we have done at our house, still listen to it at the office from time to time, one of the best things we have done at our house is turn the television off. We sit out on the back porch now and talk to each other. Well, she talks. I listen mostly. But anyway, communication is occurring. That's so much better than sitting in the living room listening to the tragedy, the ongoing drumbeat of disaster that is our world today. God has it under control, and He's going to take care of it. All I have to do is be an obedient sheep, and He will restore our soul. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. He says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for Thou art with us. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort us. You know, expanding on that just a little bit, this world is a valley that is continually overshadowed by the reality of death. It happens. It happens every day. It happens to people we love. It happens to people that we work with and that we know. And we know eventually it will happen to us. There is death all around us. We walk through that valley, yet we're not afraid. I know people who are very much afraid of dying. I've had them come in my office and say, tell me, I'm afraid. I don't want to die. I'm afraid that this bad thing or that bad thing is going to happen and I'm going to die. I know a young man, and I really like the young man, who has lived in his house since COVID broke out. He has been out one time because of an emergency. He had to go to the emergency room. Other than that, he has lived in his house and has not had contact, direct contact with other people since the outbreak of COVID. He lives in a state of fear. I guess that happens to a lot of people. I won't live my life in that kind of fear. I will not live my life in fear of what some maniac may do. I will not live my life in fear that the stock market will crash, or that my investments will become worthless, or that my property will be gone. I will not live my life in fear that people will dislike me and that they will turn their back on me. I follow a shepherd who has all of that in control. And I'm not going to live my life in fear. I don't have to. It doesn't matter if the United States government falls, if terrible things happen in this world. I will not live my life in fear. I don't have to. He says, I will fear no evil, or we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. You know, I thought about that a lot. What does that mean? His rod and his staff gives us comfort. And there are a variety of ways to look at that. Certainly, we live with the rod and staff of protection that God offers us. But we also live with a rod and staff that we can be punished if we get out of line. You know, when I was a youngster, I knew where the boundaries were at. I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. I knew when I overstepped those, my dad had a belt and he wasn't afraid to use it. My mother more than him. But they would certainly get me back in line. I was not afraid of that belt, but I knew where the boundaries were. I also knew, though, that whatever happened, my parents would be there to protect me. You see, there is a comfort in knowing where those boundaries are, in knowing that I serve a God that has a rod, and if I get involved in sin, He'll use that on me and He will bring me back. See, young people who don't have rules, whose parents don't care, doesn't matter what time they get in at night, doesn't matter whether they go to school or whether they don't, doesn't matter if they get in trouble with the law or anybody else, they have no boundaries. Those are the young people that we ought to pity the most. They are afraid. They don't have that leadership structure that will step in and protect them. So yes, God's rod and staff comfort me in that He will protect me and He will bring me back in line when I get out of line. Thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We have enemies, all of us. I have, you have. But you know what? If we follow God, right in the presence of our enemies, He will feed us. We don't have to slip around and try to go hide somewhere to enjoy the spiritual food that God gives us. We don't have to slip around and go hide somewhere to try and draw strength. I don't have to go into some private cloaked room to get on my knees and pray. I don't have to slip around and say, I believe in Jesus. I can declare that to the entire world because my shepherd feeds me right in the presence of my enemies. Many years ago, I had some young men that were attempting to give me a lot of trouble, and they did. They were pretty successful at it. For nearly a decade, we went through a lot of static and a lot of trouble. And there's a lot of pain. I don't wish that to go that on anybody, and I certainly don't want to go back through it. But when I got toward the end of that, I realized I've got something that they don't have. And I don't say that boastfully. Don't have a lot of money, but I've got something that they simply don't have. I've got a Savior that loves me and that knows me and that I follow. See, the goats don't have that. They can go out there and try to do whatever they want to do. They can butt heads and they can try to eat whatever they want to eat and they can do what they want. They don't have a shepherd that loves them. Let me tell you something, people. If you're Christian, if you are following Jesus, if you are following the commandments and the laws of God, if you are part of His flock, you've got something that this world doesn't have. I see a little bit of the news occasionally, and to be honest, a bit of it's humorous. I don't know if any of you have tuned in to the trials that have been going on. You'd about have to live under a rock to not know about them. the trial of Donald Trump and now the trial of Hunter Biden. If you look at the people around them and some of the text messages, smoking crack and having affairs with his dead brother's wife and on and on and on and on, that's a sad existence. I can't imagine being addicted to crack or to meth or to any of those others. What a sad, pitiful existence. I don't have to do that. I have a shepherd that feeds me. I have people in my life who love me. I know who I am, and I know that God provides a table right in front of my enemies. Thou anointest our heads with oil. Our cup runneth over. The anointing with oil is something that was very common in Jesus' time. They understood that. We don't always understand it. But we understand our cup running over. It means that we have more than we could possibly want for. Our cup runs over. You know, when I see my family involved in church, when I hear my grandson singing a gospel song, or for that matter, when I see young people in the church doing things for Jesus, having lock-ins and doing all of the other things they do, my cup runs over. I can't say anything but thank you, God. Thank you for what you've given us, all of us. We can worship together. We can see people growing. We can see so much going on. Our cup runs over. And if we will follow as obedient sheep, our cup will run over. I love this last verse, maybe more than any of it. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't get what I deserve. I get mercy. See, I have a shepherd who knows what I deserve, and I know what I deserve, and it's not good. The things I've done, the life I've lived, I've not been what I guess the world would classify as a really bad man, but I've not always been a good man also. I've done things, I've said things that I'm not proud of, and I don't want to live in that life. I don't want to be that person. But thank God, mercy and goodness follows me, follows us. We are a church. Family of Faith Church, mercy and the goodness of God follows us. I've seen it. I've seen it repeated and repeated and repeated. I've seen people come to these altars and changes made. I've seen tears on these altars. I've seen people go out into this world and witness and bring other people in. That's mercy. That's goodness. It follows Family of Faith Church for the rest of this church's life. And we will dwell in the house of God forever. See, this life was going to come to an end. I'm aware of it. Doesn't matter. My life won't come to an end. We are eternal creatures, all of us. You will live for eternity somewhere or the other. I pray if we follow as dear sheep, we will live in God's house forever. In closing, let me say this. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, the original question, are we sheep or are we goats? I pity from the bottom of my heart, I pity anyone who lives the life of a goat. if you try to stand in the way of God's church, if you try to headbutt people and say, I want what I want, and it's going to be done my way, or I'm going to tear it up, you are putting yourself directly in conflict with Almighty God. Not me, but God. And the end will not be good. You have the choice today. Do you want to be an obedient sheep? As the church, do we want to follow, or do we want to be a bunch of old goats? Please stand.